The law of gender. If there were ever something I found funny about life, is this. The law of gender. The joker's biggest joke. What we have learned today, or what we have learned of this law, that it actually has nothing to do with the gender roles as we have known them. We bring to you natural laws, spiritual laws in their purest form. The law of gender is one of those spiritual laws, also called natural laws. Last week we discussed the law of duality, and today we are doing the law of gender. Well, before we continue, first and foremost, we need to understand that there is a difference between natural laws, or what you call spiritual laws, which constitute the order or the natural order of things in the universe, to religious laws. Okay. Religious laws, in Christianity they call it dogma, and in Islam they call it the Sharia law. From these religious rules or laws or regulations, they extend to the justice system that we know of today. They enforce the rules in favor of the rulers, or those who rule in that particular time. They constitute of ethical and moral rules. They determine what is the normal and acceptable behavior in the society. And that must be in accordance to the religion, the culture, or the system of rules that are created and enforced through social and government institutions to regulate behavior. Now, what is ethical change with variations as time go by? Regulations get amended, rules and laws change. The difference between them and the spiritual laws is that spiritual laws never change. They cannot change because that's the structure of the universe, meaning that the law of gender shall always be the law of gender. The law of duality shall always be the law of duality. These are the things that bring us the comfort of knowing that we are secured as human beings. The comfort that comes from God that tells us that we are protected by these natural laws. That because these natural laws exist, because these spiritual laws exist, we are therefore secured in them. Okay, so it's very important to understand that. Religions change, but spiritual laws remain. These are the natural laws. Okay, I thought that is important to say that before we continue. Now, let's go directly to the law of gender. The law of gender is used in a much larger context, and it refers to creation or production. Okay, I'm going to repeat that because that is something that either you were aware of that or you just learned that. So it's a huge thing to learn. And it's not to be taken for granted. The law of gender is used in a much larger context. It is the law which refers to the creation or production. Okay. Now, that means that the law of gender is now divided into two. It divides itself into two. And these categories of the law of gender, they dance with each other throughout eternity. You have the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine. These are the fluid energies called the energies of gender, of the law of gender. They are also called the creative forces, the creative energy. They run from the inner into the outer world. These forces are the masculine and the feminine. They are part of the great mysteries of the universe. God uses this law of gender in these creative forces to create all things, including the universe in which we are part of. These creative forces, they are also available to us. They are part of us. They are within us. And we, us, in them, in order to advance the world in which we have been assigned, the world in which we have been entrusted and given the responsibility to take care of. We all want to create things like God. We want to be creators. We want to build the universe. We want to make a difference. We want to make a change. And in that desire to create, to be like God, it comes from this law of gender, which has these two creative forces, which is the masculine and the feminine, or the feminine and the masculine, the yin and the yang. We do that what we need to do using, or we create that what we need to create using these energies. They are within us. Now, it is the wonderful thing, or the comforting thing, to know that each human being on earth has within themselves both of these energies. Not just one, it's not just feminine, it's not just masculine, but both of them, they are inside of us. And they give us the power to be able to create like God. Okay. This is the law of gender. It's too powerful. The law of gender is definitely superior. It is the law, or the natural or the spiritual law, which is above all laws, if you look at it, because this is the law that actually helps us human beings to do great things on earth, okay? Because also, if you take a closer look to the image and the mannerism of God, it is the first thing that we all should learn about before all other laws. Part of our development and maturity and spiritual growth is the ability to use both sets of energies, the masculine and the feminine, just like God does. Once we've got that right in ourselves, we are powerful individuals. Okay, so I'm going to continue. The law of gender is very, very interesting. And I hope that you can receive this into your spirit, into your soul, and that it will give you comfort, and it will give you, it will open your eyes and make it possible for you to see yourself more than just you have been seeing yourself before. Okay, so I continue. The law of gender divides itself into these two creative energies, like I explained to you, the feminine and the masculine. And one of them is responsible for thought in the creation process. And the other one is responsible for wisdom in the production process. Now, in the creation process of that, you have one responsible for the idea itself, having the idea, and you have the other responsible for the wisdom to put the thing together and to also bring it to alive. For example, now, let's say I want to buy land and build an amusement park so that people can come and have fun. Okay, I have this idea. I have this dream of mine to build an amusement park. Now, the thought and the idea of wanting to build this park is my masculine energy. Okay, so I'm using my masculine energy as the idea. Okay, so I go back. This is what I've already explained. I said to you, these gender creative energies, they divide themselves into two. You have feminine and masculine. The masculine one is responsible for thought, is responsible for the idea. Okay, and the feminine energy is responsible for the wisdom of putting the idea together and bringing it forth. Do you see? So you have to divide well. Now, in the example in which I've given, I say, I would love to build an amusement park so that families, community, society, people from the local people and the people from all over the world can come into my amusement park and have fun and spend money and have and play some games and maybe buy some things inside or whatever the case may be. All right. I have this idea. Now, this idea of wanting to do this or having this strong desire of wanting to do this is masculine energy. Do you see it in the creative force? It's a masculine energy. Now, it does not matter whether I'm a woman or a man. I have within me this masculine energy to be able to have these ideas. Do you understand that? Okay. That part you have to understand. Now, taking the step to manifest this thought or this idea is also masculine energy. But when I design and I define its features, okay? So let's say I take a piece of paper and now I start to draw down how the amusement park is going to look like, which game is going to be here, and what other things to be done inside, blah, blah, blah. Okay? The moment I start doing that, now I am giving the details of how it's supposed to look like. I'm defining it. I'm giving its features. I'm giving its design. I'm putting the entrance. I'm putting all the things where the cars will park. And if I'm going to have hotels inside, I'm putting it all on the piece of paper or on the board for me to see it and for the team and the people who wants to buy into my idea to see it. The moment I do that, I'm using now my feminine energy. You see that? So when I'm using my feminine energy, I'm still myself, I'm still one person, able to use both energies. So I continue, right? So as I'm using this imagination, I'm using also what you call the law of attraction. We have not spoken of the law of attraction. I will talk about it in another time. But the law of attraction, we already know a little bit about it, that it includes feelings and emotions. So I use my feelings. I feel like I'm inside the park. I can feel the air around my face. I can imagine myself inside the park. I'm eating ice cream. I'm stealing a kiss from my husband, for my children. I'm having fun. The moment I do that, and inside this park, I'm also using my feminine energy. Do you see that? Because femininity, love, feeling, emotion, and is powerful in that because that uses the law of attraction. Okay? And now finally, when I raise the money for the capital, okay, now I'm using again my masculine energy towards the construction and the building of my amusement park. Now, to be able to make negotiations and talk alliance and convince partners to come on board to invest into this idea, I'm using my masculine energy. Do you see it? But the moment I take this money of mine that I have raised and put it in the storage, in what you call banking it and distributing it, now I'm using my feminine energy. Now, all together is called the law of gender, the creative and the production process. Do you see it? This is the law of gender. The law of gender is the creative and the production process together. So you see that the law of gender has little or nothing to do with our private parts, our body parts, or the structure even of our body. It just has nothing to do. But later on, I'm going to discuss with you how it came about that we mix the law of gender with our genitalia or the body structure. This is a woman, this is a man, a man do this, a man do that. It's just the biggest lie or biggest joke from the joke, remember. You just get to laugh about these things because if you take these things too much to heart, you're going to have a heart attack and you're not going to enjoy life. You just have to laugh about them. Because the good thing in this case is that the law of gender has revealed itself to us. Do you see? We have to embrace that and enjoy that. And then, of course, we can start thinking, man, why did we even understand differently before? Okay, well, it's like that. But you will understand that the joy of knowing about this law is bigger than the lies in which we used to believe. All right. So you understood the law of gender, right? Now, just to finish this first part, is that now the law of gender, it refers to a division of labor or effort which is needed for all creativity. Did you see that? As I was giving the example, I've been dividing the creative process into different labors and efforts. And that is the law of gender. The law of gender is a division of labor or effort which is needed for all creativity. That's it. There it is. Now, part of our maturity and part of our spiritual growth is the ability to use both sets of energies to see ourselves, one whole being, as just both energies, meaning that you just see yourself as yourself, not necessarily as feminine or masculine. Okay? That is the first freedom. Okay, because to see yourself as just feminine or you see yourself as just masculine is actually working against the law of gender, is working against nature itself. Okay, and this can cause human suffering as well as making this law of gender to work against you without knowing. Okay, in the world in which we live in, you always have forms that you have to complete. You know, what's your first name? What's your last name? What's your gender? What's the color of your skin? You always fill documents like that. So the thing is always on your face. You know, women here, men here. You cannot help it. But so to actually think of yourself as one thing, it creates human suffering. It creates problems. It creates failure. It creates also blockage, hindrance that are built up in our head, and that can make us not to freely do what we need to do on earth. Okay, the secret now is the ability to use both sets of energies. I keep repeating that. It is to realize that you are complete within yourself as both energies. And when you realize, you finally realize this, when you finally realize this, it is just beyond powerful, in fact. You know, because then the Kundalini power, have you heard of the Kundalini power? That Kundalini power that go up and down your spinal cord, it rises up when you have these both, with these two, what you call sapphires. They rise up and down, giving you life and healing inside your body. Now, when this rises, nerves are stimulated in your body. And then you have a healing starting to happen in your heart, in your stomach, the functioning of your body to the maximum capacity. The healing comes to your brain, to your teeth, to your digestive system, and to all your basic five human senses. Now, the true identity of a human being now is revealed, because then this person who has this fire of the Kundalini fire, Kundalini power going up and down their spinal cord, is now born again. That's what you mean when you say you're being transformed or you are born again. Is the ability to understand this power, the power of gender. Now, when you are born again, you become this siren, like a phoenix bird of fire that rises. A new creation is born. You see how powerful this thing is? That's why I feel such a great pleasure to bring to you this law of gender. It's the greatest freedom any human being can ever feel. And I will end here for today and say to you, next time on the next phase, we're going to define what is a man and what is a woman. Because first of all, we needed just to learn what the law of gender entails, okay? When we understand what is the law of gender, okay, so this is the law of gender. And this is the power in which it brings to you, okay? So once the law of gender reveals itself to you, and it gives you this ability to see yourself as a whole human being. Yeah? Your kundalini power within yourself, okay? I'm not even talking about you and your husband or your husband and your wife. No, I'm just talking within yourself, because first of all, before you even engage into a marriage with someone else, you need to know about your own personal power. Because when then you come together with others, you do not come in a compromised position. Okay. All right. So thank you very much. Remember, we love you and we want you to succeed. And we share this freely with you because we want you to succeed. We want you to have the freedom inside you, and we want you to have the comfort. In fact, it is God who wants you to have the comfort, because God is the one who teach us these laws so that we can pass them to you, so that they can comfort you, so that they can show you that God loves you and wants you to succeed. Okay, until next time, thank you very much.